following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Greetings, salutations, hello, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland from the home office of Memphis, Tennessee. Thank you for tuning in here, or dialing in, or downloading, or what.
I just can't keep up with all this technology.
No, it's not that bad. There's a million ways to get this show. We're now on Spotify. You could be into the Spotify. That could be your thing. You can also find another show that I'm kind of involved in called the, well, it's not really a show. Another podcast, another channel, if you will, the Radio Memphis On Demand, RMOD. Stuff that you've heard on Radio Memphis is going to wind up over there. That's why we don't do the blues over here. We don't have the blues no more. We are blues free. We save that for something completely different. Speaking of the blues, which is a legitimate thing, in relation to this industry, show business, working in the entertainment industry, there's a lot of reasons why people get into this. A lot of them. For some, it's the money. There's no money in it, right? I mean, there's no middle ground per se. I mean, I'm sure there probably is some pockets of it, but it's not like there's a ladder that one can climb. In certain industries, you kind of bounce around, of course, but you know, there's a lot of people that are hanging around hearing the word no an awful lot. And then, you know, you work yourself into positions where you can make a living. And there's a million things you can do in this industry. I mean, it's not just being on the air, in front of a camera or on a mic. There's people that are engineers or writers, producers, directors, editors, content providers, writers. There's a myriad of places that one can go in this industry. For me, I found myself in this position, which is funny. They refer to guys like us as it's the talent, and it's, I don't want to sound glib because I don't like that term. When you're referring to somebody that, okay, go get the talent. He's due on the set. The reason why I don't like it is because I think it's kind of demeaning to the other people that are working there. You know, it's as if the guy behind the camera who is working, you know, working the device or the lighting director or the sound guy or, you know, any number of these people are not talented. And in reality, those are the most talented people in my estimation there is. And that is, which is funny because it leads itself to this situation where you've got these people that want to get into this business strictly for their narcissistic thing. They want to be called showbiz people. They want to be, look at me. I'm the guy that's on the camera. I'm the guy that's on the big screen. I'm the guy on the air. I've never understood that. I'm not in it for that. I have had a taste of relatively large celebrity. I've had a taste of where I live now, which is relative obscurity. I kid. I know that I'm fairly well known. I get that. But here's the issue here is that this isn't the reason why I'm in it. I just happen to work in a high profile job. I do this because I enjoy the work. And it is. It's a lot of work. And everybody that gets into this business has their different reasons for doing so. Most of the ones that are rather successful are the ones who have gotten into this business because they enjoy the work. They enjoy the laborers that go into it. You know, the whole point of sitting here on a microphone or in front of a camera, that represents about less than one half of 1% of everything that goes into the work, to being able to do that. And I like the process. I do. I really do enjoy the process. And there's it's hard to describe, but there's a lot of people out there that work in this industry that are on the air, the talent, if you will, that have had their fights, and they fight with themselves, and I'll tell you why. A good percentage of what it is that we do is really flavored by soul-crushing self-doubt. That happens a lot. You have to be able to take rejection I take it pretty well because it's, I go into a gig thinking, oh, they're not going to like this. And it's probably not very healthy. In fact, it's not. It's not healthy at all to think like that. And when you're talking about healthy, I'm talking about healthy in the head. And this industry is filled with it's rife with depression. It does. It happens. I was talking to a friend of mine today. He and I kind of we each have, I don't know, like a, I guess you could say like a low grade depression. It every once in a while it creeps up on you. I don't take anything for it. It doesn't do me any good. I've just learned to cope with it. Therapy, my friends, is a good thing. But when you're in this industry, you have to be prepared for that. You have to know that there's a lot of things getting beaten on, and it's namely yourself beating on yourself. It's hard to reckon. I know that, but that's just part of it. And here of late, it just seems that we've lost a lot of entertainers and people to suicide or to some sort of self-harm, death. These are a lot of times these are people that we've looked up to. We've had our reasons why we've liked them. Perhaps they have been a part of our lives in some way that they'll never know. And it does. It stings a little bit when you hear of these sorts of things, especially when it's something that, you know, you never knew that they were fighting. And that's why I think it's important to remember that the people that work in this industry are, number one, they're people. Okay, they're human beings. They're not the sum total of what it is that they project out there in the work that they do. They just have high profile jobs. And a lot of times that pain that you don't know what demons people are battling is what I'm getting at. And it's not just indicative to the entertainment industry. It's everywhere. It's all over the world. And it's in every job, or it's just in every human. There's that propensity to just feel as though that the world has just completely caved in on you from time to time. And then if you're lucky, you can take a deep breath and then move along and cope with it. Meditation is a good thing, by the way. Mindfulness, look it up. I'm not going to preach to you on that. But what I am going to preach to you about just simply is this before we get into our show today. If at any point in your time in your life, you really do feel overwhelmed and you feel as though you just cannot carry that load any further, remember, you will find a way. It's not the end of the world. None of us is going to matter. But more importantly than that, find somebody to talk to. Really. There's nothing worse in this world than feeling like you cannot carry on anymore. Don't be that person, okay? I know there's a lot of people that are in the industry that listen to this show. I know this because I've heard from some. And I thank you, guys. And I know that in this industry, it's hard. There's that ever-present, you know, doubt, that self-doubt. Lord knows I wrestle with it all the time myself. But remember, you're never alone. Even though you will feel, at the worst of it, you'll feel like you're the most alone thing in the world. You're not. When you feel like that, pick up the phone and call somebody. Seriously. Reach out to someone and talk to them. It can make all the difference in the world. It just takes a few minutes to just vent your spleen and away you go. And just keep doing it. Keep on keeping on. Do what you do, no matter how hard it is. If this is what your calling is in this life, then do it. And don't let anybody tell you any different. Just find a way. Just keep going. Hold your head up and be proud, which leads me directly into what we've got for you on this episode of the program. A great dear friend of mine, Sarah Simmons. Sarah was on The Voice. She was a contestant on The Voice. She's going to talk about that. Her and her husband have a studio here in Memphis. Greg Langston's his name. He's also joining us in our conversation. We're going to talk about what it takes to develop young talent into the music industry. Also, even though she's no longer on The Voice, she has ties to those shows like America's Got Talent and American Idol and The Voice. She's a talent scout. Oh, hey, you thinking about getting into this and how this works? Stick around, kids, because Sarah Simmons Langston and her husband Greg from Langston Studios, they're going to talk about what it takes to get onto that show and what to expect when you get there. It's a great conversation. It's coming up next, so stick around right here from Radioland.
Hey, CBD users, you need to know about the GreenManCBD.com. We carry leading national brands at great prices, brands like Green Roads, pharmacist formulated CBD and hemp oils, Diamond CBD, Relaxed Gummies, Liquid Gold disposable vape kits, and more. You can visit our store in Memphis at the Broom Closet, 546 South Main Street, or order online at thegreenmancbd.com for free shipping in the U.S. on all orders over $50. Enhance your life with CBD and hemp products. Must be 18 years old to purchase CBD products.
And thanks to the magic of the internet, joining us here from Radioland, from their studios, Langston Studios, is Sarah Simmons Langston and her lovely husband, Greg. Hey, guys, how's it going?
Hey,
Rick. It's going awesome, man.
Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us here on this program. We've been wanting to have you on here for a while, and I know schedules and life and all that kind of gets in the way, and it makes for a mess. But we finally got it put together, and here you guys are.
Yes. Glad to be here.
Glad to be here.
Sarah, of course, if you, those of you who have listened to Radio Memphis, she's a friend of the station. She has shown up over there several times. You brought me artists. You've brought me like two or three now, right?
I think, yep, three artists.
And they're all tremendous talent. I don't know, where are you finding these? Where are you finding these people?
So basically it's crazy because we haven't even done that much marketing. It's just kind of, people have kind of just honestly come in our lap. Like literally it's like, you know, like our artist Brooke that we brought you, you know, I was just teaching her. And then also this girl, Marie, you know, is teaching her as well. And then that band Cans and Windows, it's like just hearing them even through Spotify, like just music basically connected us all. But I mean, we are getting into marketing for the studio and we are starting to see some return on that. But really, it's just been a point in time.
It's been running into young local talent and, you know, some from, you know, not so local, but. Mostly it's been local talent.
Mostly local,
and that's kind
yeah.
of been, that's been something from the start that we've had as a focus, is we believe in the talent that's here in Memphis. We believe that it's, for the most part, it's kind of largely untapped, really, in
it really
some ways.
Is.
And we wanted to just kind of, you know, start finding kids and giving them an opportunity to start growing as artists and get a chance to record and also do our own stuff. And also bands that are professional acts already as well. So it's just all kind of part of the thing we, you know, do here.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys have built a quite a business, if you will, around the talent here in Memphis. I'm the perfect example of I can speak from this because I've built a radio station around the talent as well. And you're so right. There's so much untapped potential in this city that when people from outside of Memphis, they finally get, they dial in a little bit and they hear what's going on. They go, oh my God, I did not realize that all of this music was here, because people think of Stax or they think of Elvis or any of that stuff. But you know, you guys are reaching out. You guys, I guess, predominantly have some younger talent that you're working with. And the people, like I said, the people that you've brought to me so far have just been stellar.
Thank you. That's good to hear.
Yeah, we're
awesome.
We're pretty lucky. I mean, it's definitely a big part of it. You have to find talent, you know, to work with. There's got to be something there to mold,
right.
You know, and kind of work with.
And music that we believe in. You know, I mean, we will work with anybody, but at the same time, you know, we do want to just take on projects that, you know, we really can see their vision and we can help deliver that vision.
So what is it specifically that you do then? Are you teaching, or are you grooming them for the stage? You're getting them ready for studio work? I mean, what's the deal here?
So basically everything. We're kind of like a one-in-one shop.
One-stop shop.
I'm so bad at idioms.
She doesn't know any sayings. She never gets a saying right.
I always get idioms wrong every time. Like, I can't remember what I said the other day. It was like something about a bush. Like,
yeah,
oh wait, I said beat around the bush.
Let's not go down there.
But just be careful about going. And you told me to watch my mouth.
I know.
For God's sake.
I think instead of saying don't beat around the bush, I think I said don't run around the bush.
Don't run around the bush. It works, you know.
I know. He was like, same meaning, but still. I was like, oh,
as
my
opposed
God.
To the long way around the barn, it's the long way around the bush, you know.
Exactly.
But yeah, but, being a one-stop shop is what you guys do, right?
It is. So, you know, I teach, Greg and I both teach everything from piano, songwriting, vocals, drums, even saxophone, to songwriting, music theory, musical theater. Even this past week I did, even helped my student with just straight acting, no music at all.
Wow.
So we do musical theater, acting, dancing even. I helped one of my students get her choreography down. But then at the same time, you know, we have the teaching business. But at the same time, then we have our recording business and that goes with, you know, Greg's the producer, and I help the vocal harmonies and management.
Yeah, the idea behind the recording business was to, like, one, first and foremost, I mean, we're recording artists, and that's a huge tool any musician can know, and like any artist knows, you know, having a studio is such a tool, you know, for a creative person. So we wanted that for ourselves, obviously, selfishly. But then also we did want to give a chance to, like, some of our students and kids to, like, start getting a glimpse. We're not saying, you know, we're the best in town. There's plenty of great studios, but just start getting a glimpse into what, like, a studio is, into the process of, like, actually making a recording, taking a song you've written and, like, producing it, the process of producing it and recording it and then mixing it and mastering it, and, like, just and, you know, the ability to record yourself as a musician is kind of a skill.
It is.
That is, you know, first time you're in the studio, you know, the 20th time you're in the studio is a big difference.
Oh, so, God,
you
know, yeah.
You want to start getting some kids a chance to start logging some hours, you know, in a studio.
And learning. So we're not just a studio of just, you know, Greg is actually helping even some of the students and artists even learn about Pro Tools, you know. So we like to help them in every experience that we can.
That's way cool, because there's, I don't know of any real schools that do this. Certainly public education doesn't do that. I mean, they've taken music out of the schools so far, and you know, but see, that's what happens when there's a void like that. People like you guys come in and kind of fill that void a little bit and give these kids, these artists a chance to really explore themselves.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that, which leads me to this, though, I mean, because I know you guys tend to swim in the pop music waters. Is it fair to say that it's kind of a young kids game now with pop music? I mean, we're seeing artists that have really stood the test of time. We just watched the Oscars the other night and saw the Lady Gaga performance, and what a tremendous talent I think she is.
Oh, she's amazing.
I'm the first to admit, I'm not a huge fan of her work, but I have a very deep appreciation for what she's doing.
And I actually agree. So I think she has, you know, actually when I first heard her a long time ago, I wasn't like a massive fan of her voice, because the like classically trained person of me was like, oh, she's singing from her nose, you know. but then when I like truly listened to her, I was like, you know what, it's almost like, it's kind of like Bob Dylan. It's like, it's not the most, is it the most beautiful voice you've ever heard? No. But is she singing with every passion in her being? Yes, you know. And that's what started drawing me to her. And so it's, yeah, like I was saying, like Bob Dylan, it's like Bob Dylan doesn't have the best voice in the world, but he has his own sound, and so does she.
So,
her having her own sound, I mean, that's something to be not only honored of, but also grateful for.
How many people are just, you know, musicians are just copies.
Sound the same.
Of other people.
Oh, my God, yeah.
That's one of the things that we actually deal with at the studio. I do want to point on that, is a lot of my students will come in, and they're trying to sound like that same teenage girl that does the, you know, like, ah, la, la thing.
Oh, yeah.
Which is fine, but I really try to stray them. I really try to stray them away from that and actually find their tone of their voice, to find their actual voice and hear it on something they've never heard before. Something I love that you say, Rick, is give me something I've never heard before. And that's what we are trying to do, not only with ourselves, but also with our artists, is have them not just sound like everybody else, but have them truly find their own sound and find something different, and that is themselves.
Well, being unique is the hardest part of this industry. Because like you said, it's so easy to be like the hot kid with the ukulele. Now all of a sudden there's all these kids out there with ukuleles, you know. Not that there's anything wrong with any of that, but it's hard to separate yourself from that.
Right.
And teenagers have this, as you know, teenagers are always, they feel like they want to be different, but they feel that the best way to be different is to fit in with somebody else. They get it backwards. I get it. You know, hell, I was a teenager once. I totally understand.
Me too. Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, you need to, like, at first, you know, there's nothing wrong with being inspired by people. And I think we all have to go through that. Like, you know, when I first heard Jimi Hendrix play guitar, and how many guys how many guitar players say the same story? You know, when I first heard Jimi Hendrix play guitar, I wanted nothing more than just to crank my amp up and just have it feedback and like try to like play
these
like really bluesy psychedelic licks and just like. But I had to learn over a long time to like what I really liked. But instead of trying to be Jimi Hendrix, one, because it's impossible. But two, like, you just, like, what I loved about him was, like, his passion and his artistry and, like, and to, like, to take that and, like, take it in my own direction and, like, you know, that's, like, what it's really about. It's, like, have your influences, but then you kind of have to leave them behind and you have to find your own ground. Like, take those same tools and what you like and rearrange it your own way. And, like, don't be ashamed of what you come up with, like, you know, and don't measure yourself against other people, especially legends like Jimi Hendrix. That's just a bad idea. Don't
matter. Yeah. Finding your own voice is, you know, is everything. I mean, and it's not just in music, it's in comedy or it's in the painted world or even what I do for a living. It's, you got to find your own voice in all of that. And it's not easy, but I guess you try and teach that as best as you can. I mean, I know most kids, it's either they got it or they don't.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah, and you know, they'll surprise you sometimes, and sometimes you're like, yeah, that sounds just like this thing, and sometimes they hit you with a song and you're like, wow, I can't believe that actually came out of a kid. So like, you know, sometimes, you know, the fact that like they're young and they don't analyze everything that they do, sometimes it's surprising the stuff they come up with, and it's kind of cool because, you know, sometimes like the more you learn, you can kind of reason yourself out of doing some things, or like you get stuck in certain thought processes. But it's just interesting to see how kids just kind of, you know, just kind of can throw caution to the wind sometimes. And it can be good, you know.
Well, yeah. Sure. Yeah, there's nothing more daring than a kid, you know, if you think about it, you know, because, you know, when you're 16, 17 years old, you're bulletproof, you know, in your own head.
I know.
You know.
Nothing excites you anymore.
And then you know, I've always had this thing about, you know, that inside of every 50-year-old person is an 18-year-old going, what the hell just happened?
No, it's so true.
It's so true. It's so true. You blink and like, what? What happened? You
know. I know. I mean, I'm 29 years old, but and I know I'm still super young, but technically I turned 30 this year, and I'm like, and I know that's super young, you know, but still I'm like, whoa. I'm already turning 30. This is crazy.
Yeah,
like,
that's just that the calendar turning. That's all that is inside. You know, you're still that kid, and you know, and everybody has it. You just can't let go of that child.
Absolutely.
That's the important part. Speaking of tools of being in the studio, you've told me this before because you were on The Voice, the television show, and you have explained it to me as that's a tool. It's an opportunity. It's a fantastic opportunity to get out there.
It is.
What season were you on?
So I was on season 4, top 7.
Season 4, top 7.
Yeah. So it was like 4.5 years ago, almost 5 years ago already.
Wow.
It's crazy. I know.
So how did that work out? Was it just a simple audition process that like the cattle call type thing, and everybody shows up and you sing in front of a few people and they go, okay, you're it, or what happened? How did this work?
Normally that is the case. But basically, you know, it actually was kind of like just a fate story. Like I never, you know, when I was in college, I was 23 at the time when I got accepted into the show, and I was, you know, playing shows on the weekends and going to music college and living in my studio apartment and, you know, didn't have cable. Like I don't even watch the show. I don't even know what it was. And basically a good friend of mine, Sean, who sadly passed away, he actually told me about the show and was like, Sarah, you should try out for the show called The Voice. It's awesome. It's like American Idol, but they don't make fun of people. Because, you know, when I was 20 years ago, they used to make fun of people. They don't do it as much anymore at all. But they really did. I mean, I remember that, you know, woman that wore
made a career out of
yellow bird, the Asian guy. I can't remember what it was, but
Well, they always have cannon fodder. You know, they always have to have somebody that's just going to suck, and they're gonna go out there and make fun of them and then run them off. You know,
right? And that just made me so sad. And I was like, you know what? They might even still have potential. They just aren't with the right teacher, or they aren't with the right person to know actually the gift they have. And maybe it's still in music, but in a different way. You know, and so I didn't like American Idol and those shows for a pretty long time. Really my whole life, because even when I was a teenager, like 15, 16 years old, my mom was like, you should do American Idol. And I was like, no, you know?
No, that's not happening.
No, Mom, I'm not doing it. But yeah, basically my friend Sean told me about the show. He was like, you know, he was like, Christina Aguilera is on there too. And I love her. Who doesn't? She's amazing at her craft. But yeah, I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. And then 2 months later, our school was in the Billboard magazine, Visible Music College, and Ken Stortz got an email from The Voice and basically asked him, you know, do you have just like one person that you would recommend from your school? And he gave him my name, and he and all of my teachers had written me and told me, they said, you know, we believe in you, and, you know, you've been in school long enough. We really want you to do this tryout. We know you're going through a hard time, but you just got to do it, you know, and, it was really just a sign because Sean had told me about it before. So I just felt like I needed to do it. So I did. And I did a private audition, so I didn't have to wait in a line or anything. I actually did it at Ardent Recording Studios in the back. And they actually, they sent me through. They even told me that day. They didn't even make me wait to know for a couple weeks. They just were like, yes, we want you. We're going to send you an email telling you the details, la, la, la. And then I was on the show for 8.5 months.
Wow. 8.5 months?
8.5 months. It was a long, because back,
filmed the blind audition,
yeah, we filmed, back for a while. Yeah, we went for, I went there for about 2 months, no, almost 3 months, about 2.5 months, in the fall and right before Christmas, and basically did the blind auditions, and they, you know, there's a bunch of stuff that nobody sees on the television that's, you know, as any TV show should have this. It's like they do background checks. They have, you know, out of 40,000 people, they have 240 people in one hotel.
Wow.
And they do psych tests. They have you perform a song in front of all of the NBC producers, like literally of the whole NBC. So it's not just The Voice producers, not just, you know, it's everyone.
Right, right.
And then they literally come up to you, you know, in the hotel, and you're sitting there at dinner, and they'll just come beside you to someone and be like, you know, you need to pack your things. You're not going to the blind auditions, and you need to go do them now. You know, so, I mean, that part of it's pretty rough, you know, but it's, again, it's a TV show, it's a competition. And so then you get to, you know, the auditions finally, and, you know, even when people are prepared with their blind audition, it's like, you know, you see your family for the first time in like a month and a half. We didn't get to talk to anybody on the phone for a month. So they take away your phones. You can't talk to anybody unless you're under 18 years old. So, you know, when you're 18 and above, you sign a thing like, I'll do anything you tell me to, basically, you know.
So they kind of own you at that point.
They do. They tell you what to wear. They got to protect the kids, but not us
18,
adults.
You can sign your life away.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, so you're there for 8.5 months. Awesome. Do they give you like a stipend of some sort? I mean, you're away from
they
home.
They do. So, yeah, I mean, you know, they obviously are having us stay in a hotel for free, which is a lot of money for 240 people.
Sure, yeah.
In one hotel, you know, but they are NBC, so they can do whatever they want. But basically, yeah, they had, you know, us sitting there not knowing what was going to happen. And then, you know, I actually saw my dad for the first time that year and the first time in like a couple years. So it was like I finally got to see my dad, and then I was like just wanting dinner with them, you know, and they're like, no, you can't do that. We have to separate you now. And I was like, no.
that's
it like, was an emotional experience.
It sounds like being in a sequestered jury.
It was. it kind of was.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, even when people get to the blind auditions, there's so much of the show, you know, obviously they don't want everybody to know, but I don't think it's wrong for people to know. It's like, you know, if you get to the blind auditions, then you try out. But even like there was somebody that went, I was the last, one of the last people they accepted in that performed. But like, I think it was six people after me. This girl was ready with the microphone, ready to walk out on stage. And they said, I'm sorry, we've, all the positions are filled. You'll have to come back next year. After she was there for like 2 months.
Oh,
and
wow.
All this filming with her family. And, you know, so, I mean, there is the show, you know what I mean? It is a technical reality television show. But at the same time, it is awesome bringing your music out there. You know, I was, when I was on The Voice, I got all four chairs, which was super fun.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
At the same time. And I went with Adam, but yeah, now they're doing two seasons a season. Then it was just one season a season. So they spread it out. So we had a little bit longer of a time and we got to actually get to know the coaches probably more than the coaches get to know their artists now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, it was, you know, there's always a pros and con with television. You know, it's like, it's an, especially a reality show. It's like, you know, pro, you get to have your music out there and get, you know, more publicity. Con, you know, there is the sides of reality TV show that people, you know, don't know,
I think
but it's more positive than negative.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, the big thing is obviously the instant amount of like exposure you get. I mean, the downside is, and a lot of people need to realize this if they want to go on a show like that, that like as quickly as you get all that attention can disappear just as quickly because it's not organic. You know what I mean?
Right.
You haven't
right.
like built your fan base over years and years. You know?
Right.
It's like, and if you're lucky, you know, you hold on to a few of those fans, if you can be quick and be on your toes and release some.
That is a big advice that I do give is, you know, if you do go on the show on The Voice,
keep those fans' attention because
get something out immediately after the show.
People are like, they're kind of just more so fans of the show, not necessarily fans of you.
Good point.
They all have their favorites. Everyone kind of has their favorites, but they're kind of just people are fans of the show. You know what I mean?
That's a very good point. Yeah.
But of course the producers gear who they want it to be more popular of the week. You know, obviously that kind of reality show goes into that without people knowing.
Sure.
But it seemed like whoever got to sing the most popular song that week was going to win.
Exactly.
That's what it was to me.
Yeah.
It was like when I watched it, it was like, who gets to sing the Adele song this week? Well, they're probably going to win.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I guess. The charts, you know.
I was supposed to sing her song last week. Yeah.
So but you never got to do your own material then on the show, did you?
No. And I think people are allowed to do it now, but.
You probably wouldn't want to.
You probably want. You might have to sign over rights if you
unless do. Unless you got a heck of a song. Then yeah, they would own it.
They would own it. Yeah.
I think so.
If they're gonna, NBC's gonna televise your stuff. They own that.
Yeah, for sure.
They want a big piece.
But at the same time, two things. One, if you do have music out already, I think now when I was on it, they took proceeds from your music, but now I think they don't take proceeds from your music. So it because I think it kind of put people off where they're like, well, I already have music out. I don't want to go on there. And they take, you know, the money that I already had done for this music and, you know, put everything into. And so I think they are less with that. I don't know if it's 100%, but I do know they work with artists more now.
Yeah. It seems a bit cheeky if you've already got stuff that's out there and then you wind up on the show and they're already taking stuff that you've done before you even met these people. Yeah.
Right. But at the same time, they are giving you publicity for that music. But, yeah, the biggest thing I would say about The Voice is for people that want to go on it is, you know, just know it's not your career, but it's an experience, you know?
Yeah.
Just know that this doesn't make or break you. And if you go on it, you know, it's like, enjoy the experience, absorb it like a sponge. Yeah. And take that and, you know, push really hard because the only way that people make it is if you work hard yourself, and really it's up to you, you know, of how far you want to go.
Yeah, it's not that quick 15 seconds on camera that's going to make it for you. I mean, in theory it could, but that's still very rare. And your best advice, it seems to me, is that if you do go on the show, the best thing that you could have happen to you is not win it.
Right.
Yes, because you are, I mean, the winners, you know, of the show still are getting great publicity and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I know that they are signed in a contract for a really hot minute, you know?
Wow. Yeah.
So, and they get, you know, I think like half somewhere around half of proceeds of whatever you, you know, your income. So
like over a period of years.
Oh, for a period, a long period of years. I think it's like 10 years or something.
Well, that could be your whole career.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's like with music, we have to take risk and do with, you know, sometimes you don't always want to take what you're handed. That is one of the other advice I will give to everybody is, you know, don't take everything you're handed, because there's going to be a lot of, like, you know, snakes in the grass are going to come and just want to take that success that you just went on and do something in not a great way, you know?
Yeah, well, that's show business in a nutshell right there.
Exactly. Yeah. And a bunch of over promises under delivers. So listen to all the people that want to do something for you, and see, you know, what your gut's telling you. But yeah, I'm actually now a recruiter and kind of a scout for The Voice, American Idol, and America's Got Talent.
Oh, that's cool.
Through a good friend of ours that actually is a supervisor for those shows, Peter Cohen. And he's having us, you know, scout out some artists and stuff like that here in Memphis, Tennessee. So if you are listening and want to go on The Voice and need somebody to prep you to go on The Voice, you can go to LangstonStudios.com and email us if you're interested.
Well, that's awesome. That you know, because I know there's a lot of people who think, I can really do this, but I don't know what to do. So that we get in touch with you guys, you could get them prepped up, feed them to the right people to at least get a listen and
private auditions.
Yeah. Well, it's too old for me. I'm thinking my ship has sailed.
No, it hasn't.
I don't sing anyway. Are you performing much these days?
You know, we were just talking about that yesterday. We miss it so much. You know, after our album Freedom came out, we were on tour for 9 months with our band around the country, and we had a blast. But I think we were on the road so much where we were like, okay, we could take a year break. So that's exactly what we did.
Yeah.
And we built this studio. But we do miss things. We miss playing. We got married.
Got married, yeah. Life kind of stood in there for a moment.
Yeah. But we miss it. I mean, we do miss the road. We do miss playing shows. You know, we were up to playing even with our friends at the horn section that we had, and we were having a blast. Yeah. So I definitely know we'll be playing shows again here this spring, summertime.
Yeah, we're definitely going to start playing in Memphis again. We don't want to be, you know, we don't want to oversaturate, obviously, like, you know, We don't want to be playing every week, you know, in our hometown. We want to, like, you know, we'll plan a show. Maybe we can plan one or two shows here in Memphis during the summer. And maybe, like, you know, just like maybe even just some acoustic stuff with just Sarah and I, and then maybe a stuff with a band as well.
That's a good way to do it.
Yeah, for sure. And it keeps you sharp, and it keeps you, the juices flowing, you know. It's good to play live, and it keeps you out in the scene meeting people and, you know.
Well, and this is, as you know, Memphis, of course, is kind of a tough town, but you know, you guys are already on top of it. So, you know, it sounds to me like you'll sell out a room. We'll get you into like Lafayette's or somewhere, and that'll be big. That'll be a big night. I'll be there.
Oh, I love you. Thank you. Yeah, we actually, after our 9 month tour, we came back home here and we played the show at Lafayette's, and we sold it out, and it was so much fun. And they, at the end, they were like turning people away, and we were like, no, don't, please.
Let them in. Let
them
in.
Or something.
Put them upstairs. Yes.
Like our friends and family.
It's just our family. Even let them in.
That's so funny. Well, that is so funny. Well, listen, I'm going to take a little pause here. When we come back, I want to play the game with you. It's called Playing Favorites. We've been accused of playing favorites in the past, so we're actually going to play favorites. It's the game you can't lose. It's it'll be big fun. So so hang out with me here. We've got Sarah Simmons Langston and Greg Langston from Langston Studios. We'll be back with more right after this.
Hi, this is Reverend Oma from the Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop. The Broom Closet is your one-stop shop for all of your metaphysical needs, such as candles, gemstones, herbs, gifts, and more. We now also stock CBD oil, vape kits, lotion, and edibles. The Broom Closet is also host to monthly workshops, rituals, and drum circles for those interested in conscious living. The Broom Closet is the only place to get your cards read by me, Reverend Oma, or one of our other amazing readers. Discover the Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop in historic downtown Memphis or online at thebroomclosetmemphis.com. The Broom Closet, let us help you light your path.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
Brooke Fair is here. Hey, Brooke, how are you?
I'm great.
You having fun?
Yes, super excited.
I know it's I get a thrill out of seeing when everybody gets real excited about being down here. I'm here all the time, so it's not really, you know, I don't get excited as much as anymore, you know, except for when the ghosts come walking in here. Which we do. We have those.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. So you got this song here. Tell me about it. What's the story here?
I just wrote it. It's about not being able to get over somebody. It's called Love Songs on Loop.
Love Songs on Loop. Now, how old are you?
14.
How many boyfriends have you had?
Like five.
You know, wow, really? Because you know, because you write your own material, yeah. And it's do you write from your own experiences,
yes.
or do you write it from another point of view? Or?
No, I write from experiences.
Yeah.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Well, there you go, kids. You heard what's coming up next time here on the program. We are sitting here with Sarah Simmons Langston, her husband Greg Langston from Langston Studios. We've been talking about the music business and all the fun that therein lies. You have current music out. One of the last things I had from you was your Christmas record, All Is Bright, which is just a tremendous collection of songs.
Thank you.
And I know we're well beyond the holiday, but you've released something since then.
Yeah, our recent single we've released is called All We Have Is Love. We originally wrote it last year for our wedding, and it was just a private release among family and friends for our first dance as husband and wife. But we released it this year. We were really proud of the song, and we felt like we just wanted to release it. And we released it on Valentine's Day, so February 14th.
Oh yeah, it's a cool tune. We've got a copy of it at the station, so it's available where everybody gets their music. Yeah. Then
it's available on Spotify, iTunes, you know, Tidal, Amazon.
But actually, on Spotify, it's under Greg Langston.
Yeah.
Greg Langston. He's got it.
I didn't do it on purpose.
It was my fault. Yeah.
She did it.
But it's so funny because he's getting a bunch of followers. I was
all her fans. It's a trick. I'm stealing all her fans.
Stealing all of her fans. There you go. That's the ploy. the website is langstonstudios.com, right?
Yes. Yep. Langstonstudios.com. Yeah. You can email us, give us a submission there, as well as, you know, we are on Instagram, Langston Studios, as well as our Facebook, everywhere.
Yeah. And just Sarah's music, just under Sarah Simmons, you know, her album Freedom has been out for
2 years.
2 years.
2 years, yeah. Oh, it's time to get back in the studio, girl, because we need some more music out of you.
I know, I'm excited.
Yeah, we've been writing for our second album.
We are releasing our second album later this year.
Awesome.
We're excited.
Oh, I'm excited for you. Make sure we get a copy of it. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because it's just
be a Memphis thing with, you know, local musicians and local studios and, like, just writers, and it's going to be a fun project.
Good homegrown project, man. I love that stuff. All right, let's get into our little game here we call Playing Favorites. Over the years, I've been in this business for 30-something years, and we get accused every now and then of playing favorites. And they go, you know, all you do is play your favorite stuff. Well, first of all, that's not true. Second of all, because a lot of us that are in the radio business, we get so tired of hearing all the music at the same time, so a lot of times we just turn the headphones down and go from there. But this is kind of a cool bit. I'm going to ask you your favorite stuff. For example, we'll start with this one. What's your favorite thing to do on a Saturday night?
Stay in and watch Netflix.
I hear you, buddy.
Stay in and watch Sons of Anarchy, even though we watched it like three times.
The Office or Breaking Bad or something.
Something.
Get delivery and not have to put on clothes.
Sit in the bed, hang out with our dog, Bubba.
There you go. Netflix and chill.
Netflix and chill.
Well, then what would be your favorite pizza toppings?
What's your favorite? Oh, okay. Mine is Hawaiian.
No. Are you one of those people?
I do love pineapple. I love
pineapple. Pineapple on pizza?
I know.
Social pariah.
I know. What's
How do you live with this woman, Greg?
I put rules on her, and I only let her get like a half of the pizza.
That's reasonable, you know.
Pepperoni, mushroom, olive type guy, whatever.
Oh, sausage. I do miss mushrooms so bad. I'm actually, it's weird. I actually became allergic to mushrooms like five, 6 years ago.
Well, that's no fun.
I know. Yeah, I used to eat portobellos all the
really
time.
Really sucks for me because I'm not allergic to them.
I know. I feel bad.
Aside from your hometown, what's your favorite city in the world?
Seattle.
We do like Seattle a lot.
All the way. 100%.
Honestly, really like New York City, too. I do. Not everyone does.
I do like New York. We do love...
If I'm in the right mood, it can be fun.
Yeah. And we do... I mean, of course, we love California. I lived there, you know, for a while in Los Angeles. And I love the outskirts of it. Big Bear, Lake Tahoe, all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, something about Seattle. And then, you know, we got married in... Somewhere else we love Jackson Hole, Wyoming, with all the fancy people. I know it's a fancy town, but we love it. We got married there, and
you got married in Jackson Hole. Is that where it was?
Yeah, Wyoming. It's beautiful.
That's like I think didn't like Harrison Ford own all of Jackson Hole?
He does. I can't remember how many acres they said, but it was like 500 or like 560, I think is what they said.
I think he got it a long time ago, and his land's probably like.
Worth ridiculous, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he got there before anybody else was.
Yeah.
Spending that Star Wars money.
It's so beautiful up there. It is. My mom loves them.
Speaking of Netflix, of course, we talked about television shows, but do you have a favorite movie?
Okay.
Mine's The Big Lebowski, probably.
I love that one.
Or Face Off with Nick Cage.
John Travolta and Nick Cage, yes. Been forever since I've seen that.
That's hilarious. Honestly, my favorite, like, it's hard to say because I am Greg even said this, he's like, I love movies. And Greg was, and I love singing, you know, for film and TV. That's like one of our big dreams that we're still going for, but I'm going to name my top four because it's too hard.
Go for it.
So I love The Gladiator.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Ridley Scott. Yes.
Ridley Scott. Honestly, I just love all his movies. he's like my favorite director. I do love Braveheart. Obviously, that's such a good movie. Mel Gibson. But I really love this movie called Into the Wild. You know, a lot of people were kind of in between about it. It's the story of Chris McCandless, and John Krakow wrote the book in memory of Chris McCandless, who basically, you know, was sick of society, cut his social security cards and just went out. But it's a powerful movie. And also I'm a huge Pearl Jam, Eddie Vedder fan, and he sang for the whole soundtrack. So those are my top three. And then my fourth one. Yeah. I love Dances with Wolves.
It's Oh yeah.
Great movie. And we actually got to get Wes Studi, the mean Native American in that movie. He was in one of our music videos. Called Staring at the Sun, and
he's a great guy. Interesting guy.
Interesting guy. Yeah. Really, really interesting. And we were asking him all these questions and stuff. It was so interesting.
Last of the Mohicans.
Yeah, he was in Last of the Mohicans. The guy in The Last of the Mohicans, the old man, where he like, excuse me, but I think he like ripped his heart out or something in the movie. He said he ended up being one of his best friends in real life. No way. That's awesome.
That's funny how that works out, isn't it?
Yeah.
And finally, what's your favorite animal?
Oh. Favorite animal. Dogs. I mean, Bubba. Yeah. Bubba Langston. My doggy.
Bubba, yeah.
What kind of dog is Bubba?
He's a Memphis mutt. He's a American Bulldog pit bull mix.
He's like a
white with brown patches.
Bigger, dopier looking pit bull kind of.
Kind of derpy, yeah. You know.
Yeah, so he's cute. Got like kind of jowls and like, you know,
puppy face. Bit. But he's a big dog.
He's got a big old head.
90-pound loving toy.
He uses his head to break out of kennels and stuff like that.
Literally, yeah. He doesn't go in those anymore.
Well, that's using your head there, Bubba. That's what that is. Well, guys, thank you so very much for your time here on the program. Always. And we look forward to whatever it is that you bring to us back over at Radio Memphis, all the new talent and the new music that you guys are doing. You guys are doing wonderful work over there, and I wish nothing but the best for you.
Thank you, Rick. We love you. Well, I appreciate you.
Well, there you go. So there it is, kids. Sarah Simmons Langston and Greg Langston from Langston Studios. Find more at langstonstudios.com. And you've heard what's coming up next time on the program. Until then, please take care of yourselves, take care of one another, and for God's sake, stop shooting each other, all right? I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.